Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks, and we have a great show with two special guests who are extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today our topic is a candid discussion about challenges we really don't want to talk about. Joining me by phone are two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Stephanie Graves, a national multifamily industry educator and vice president of residential property management with the Signorelli Company, and also Mindy Price, who's also a nationally sought-after educator and is the vice president of sales with J. Turner Research. Thank you, ladies, for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So the topic, a candid discussion about challenges we don't talk enough about. It seems like today, in today's environment, that everything is kind of framed by the global pandemic that we're going through. And of course, I'm sure that what these challenges that we're going to discuss are exacerbated, I guess, by the global pandemic, but they existed prior to us having this type of environment that we're having. Stephanie, what are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, you know, property management is one of those industries that we're working where people live, right? And so the things that we see are things that people experience in a very private setting sometimes. And so we're exposed to those in a different way. And, you know, the hard part is that we're all human. And so, you know, as we are working in this environment and having our own challenges, we're immediately thrust into other people's lives and having to deal with their stresses of their lives and their day-to-day responsibilities. You know, it's no different truly than an essential worker that's dealing with a hospital or any sort of those things. Obviously, the stress level is a little different, but we are exposed to ideas and financial situations, information on people that are considered strangers that we don't necessarily need or want to know. We have to see and be where people live. And I think that it poses especially in our current situation, more an undue stress of having to deal with what's going on in the world, what's going on with our lives. And then when you're at a property with 200 residents, 200 apartments, that's 400 to 600 additional lives that you're seeing and touching every day. It can certainly pose a stressful, uncertain environment. And I think that's what a lot of us are facing right now. And it affects every part of our lives and every part of our residents' lives.
And what are some of the things, some of those challenges, just to list them, and then we'll go into a little bit more detail on each of them.
Yeah, so, you know, there's job insecurity. You know, the stress related to what that looks like, the stress just related to the uncertainty, the information that we're dealing with right now, or misinformation. We're in an informational age to where we're given so much information and so much just thrown at us. It's really hard to differentiate between what's true and not true. I mean, just looking at a COVID vaccine situation, is it helping? Is it not helping? Is it real? Is it not real? Do I get it? Do I not get it? Right? All of those day-to-day uncertainties of information. I think financial issues pose stress for everyone. Whether it's a resident, they can't pay rent because they're dealing with a job loss, or whether then you have an assistant manager or a team that's supposed to be collecting that money. You have supplier partners like Mindy and many others that have their own stresses in their lives. And then their livelihood is being threatened because they can't service residents on a regular basis. I mean, they can't service apartments on a regular basis. Every part of what we do in apartment management is intertwined, and so everybody's lives affect everybody else. You know, illness that we have to see, our residents getting ill, being quarantined, our employees getting ill and having to quarantine, and then, of course, you know, just the level of deaths that we're seeing, stress, depression, all of those things play into our day-to-day lives that we have to deal with. And it tends to be a stressful, uncertain life that you live when you have to deal with your burdens plus everyone else's that you have on your property. Strangers, but not strangers, right? Mm-hmm. You feel a responsibility to help them, as all property managers do, and it can be a little bit stressful for everyone.
Mindy, what are your observations about the topic?
You know, being fortunate to work for a research company, we do several different studies, and we pivoted whenever COVID happened, and we did an employee morale study. We actually had a radio show that featured a lot of that information. And in the very beginning, what we heard was communication overkill, right? And what I mean by that, we're thinking of the employees. The employees were receiving so many emails on a daily basis, 60, 70 emails about new protocols and what they're supposed to do and how to react, which absolutely was needed. But you also have those employees who are having to take care of those 400 to 600 residents, like Stephanie was talking about. And so all of that was hitting them at one time, along with them personally on how they were supposed to react to the pandemic and take care of themselves and their family. So it was an extremely stressful time. On that note, I would bet, just based on the companies that we work with, the individuals that we talk to, a lot of that is a lot more streamlined than it was, and it's starting to be as well an oiled machine as it can, because we have been in this almost a year. But Stephanie brought up a great point about financially the burden that's placed on the residents and also the burden that's placed on the employees. You've got employees that with some companies, they bank on their bonuses, and maybe a big portion of their total comp package is on bonuses. And there are some companies, because of the uncertainty that we're in, they're not able to pay those bonuses. Some have still been able to. But you think about that stress that employee is dealing with when they're thinking, I am putting my heart and soul into this community and taking care of my residents, and all of the extra stress and pressure, I feel like I should be getting a raise and my bonuses. Mm-hmm. And so it's difficult, right, Stephanie? I hear you chuckling, but it is such a difficult situation to be in, because they are our frontline workers. Stephanie, you referenced it. We are different, of course, from the medical field, because we're not in it every day and we're not in the hospitals, but we are part of their home, and you know these people much more personally than a frontline worker does. Whenever they're dealing with somebody that comes in that has COVID, you're dealing with these residents who are themselves experiencing maybe death in their family, or a family member, or a very good friend, or somebody that they know. And so it is really a very challenging time still for employees. And you guys, I love the fact that we're having this conversation, you know, the candid discussion about the challenges we don't talk about enough. I think for a while, everybody was talking about it so much, and then we backed off. But it hasn't gone away, has it, Stephanie?
No. I think it's gotten deeper, because some people are thinking, okay, well, it's been a year, I should be over this by now, right? I've just learned to kind of live with it. And I think there's other people that, you know, I look back at 2020 and it's just kind of a haze. You know, there was so much going on informationally. There were so many changes that were happening. And I think people mark their lives and keep track of their lives by moments in time, right? Like, oh, that time I went to Europe, or that time I took that trip to the Grand Canyon. And a lot of that was just simply erased last year. And so it's easy to see how 2020 can just kind of be a blur. And we were all hoping that, I guess some people thought that as we enter into 2021, it was just going to miraculously be better. And we're finding that we're still having those same challenges. And I think we're having to revisit mental clarity. We're having to revisit, you know, mental stability, if you will. finding a new normal isn't necessarily a term that people want to hear, but learning and being able to open up and deal with what your challenges are is made much more difficult when your social interactions are limited as well, right? So, you know, I know sometimes my therapy is going to have a glass of wine with my girlfriends. Well, that's completely changed, you know, and so you don't even have the outlets that you had before.
Yeah. And
Stephanie, you saying that literally made me think, oh my gosh. So I remember boots on the ground, being on site, and also working at the corporate office when I was in operations. And I 100% love what I do, love my job. But I tell you what, I loved my vacations. I love being able to turn my phone off. Of course, if there was an emergency, they know how to get a hold of me. But I love being able to get away. And last year, our team members, our employees, our boots on the ground were not able to do that and have that stress reliever. And that is a really big deal.
Yeah. That is. We're going to go ahead and end this segment right here because we're going to take a short break. We're going to be back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because Multifamily Matters.
COVID-19 has greatly impacted the multifamily industry, emphasizing the need to reduce costs and increase revenue right now. PM Workforce can help you by providing intensely trained, performance-ready, certified leasing professionals. On-demand labor gives you more control over staffing costs. Their proprietary technology allows you to solve staffing problems within 60 minutes, 24/7, 365. Go to PMWorkforce.com before making a long-term hiring decision. Try one of their leasing professionals today. PM Workforce, the leasing company, consistently excellent.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. EconServe has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call EconServe today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's EconServe at 713-662-3220.
Well, we are back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters. And today we're discussing the topic of a candid discussion about challenges we don't talk about enough. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone are two longtime multifamily industry veterans, both nationally sought-after industry educators. Stephanie Graves, who is the Vice President of Residential Property Management with the Signorelli Company, and also Mindy Price, who is the Vice President of Sales with J. Turner Research. Before we hop back into the conversation, I do want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. Ladies, I had a thought while we were closing out the last segment, and I don't want to try and compare what we do in the multifamily industry to the first responders and the people who are on the front lines of healthcare. Obviously, they're what they're doing is wonderful and heroic. However, I think multifamily industry workers are heroic in their own way, and essential workers. Basically, never shutting down during the pandemic for the most part, having to respond to the needs and keep their properties going without a lot of direction, not necessarily due to lack of desire from a corporate office, but just not knowing what to do and or how this global pandemic was going to affect them. So I think many kudos should be given to the the multifamily industry workers who have been doing this throughout this global pandemic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which includes you two. But but I do want to talk. You know, we're talking about the challenges we don't talk enough about, and you know, obviously, stress. And this is something that again was around prior to the pandemic, but is again been exacerbated by that stress of your residents, stress of your teams on site. Stephanie, what are your thoughts about that and what can be done? How do you identify and so forth?
I think as leaders, I know I'm guilty of this, is, you know, I'll see something happening on the property and I'll go and say, okay, how can I help? And, you know, the people are like, oh, no, it's fine, I have it, or I don't need any help. And I think it's very difficult for people to even understand or know that they need help, you know, and I don't even think it's a matter of being embarrassed to ask. I think it's truly like people just are not in tune enough sometimes with their stress levels and with their level of being able to take it, that they just take on more and more and more and don't really realize when the breaking point's coming. And, you know, we are in the middle of a pandemic, and I'm teaching and telling my people every day. I know they think I'm crazy because I'm like, have you taken vitamin C? Have you taken vitamin D? Are you eating well? Are you trying to exercise and get some, you know, movement in your life? Because it's more and more important, you know, stress has a physiological impact on our bodies. And so when we're, you know, we're in a naturally stressful environment and we're taking that in, but when it gets more stressful because our delinquency has gone up and we can't collect because we've got issues happening with eviction moratoriums, and you know, we have our owners that aren't able to pay their bills, and we feel like we're affected by that, and we're trying to collect from people that say, I can't put food on the table. How do you expect me to pay my bills for rent? All of those things, you know, when we're not taking care of ourselves and we're not, you know, getting exercise and we're not eating healthy and we're on our last limb, if you will, it affects our bodies. And so it makes us more vulnerable to getting sick, not only COVID, but everything. And so that, I think, is something that we have to be conscious of as well, is that, you know, what are we doing to take care of ourselves and make sure that our teams are taken care of just from a health standpoint? I think we've spent more on employee goodwill this last year than we've spent in a long time, just on lunches and goodies and, you know, gifts and making sure that people are having and getting what they need. Because reaching out for help and being able to ask and understand that you're on your last leg because of stress or because of things that are happening, I think is something that we're not in tune necessarily to do.
Yeah, yeah, and that makes a lot of sense. Mindy, what have you heard about how people are dealing with stress out there?
So I've heard a lot of different things, but one of the things that I just wonder, Paul, is the long-term impact of this. And we know that stress is not a good thing. And one of the things that we've talked to our employees about is it's okay to say you're not okay, or it's okay to ask a question that you might not want to ask, or if you're dealing with a client and they're asking for help, it's okay to have a conversation with them that maybe isn't as professional as it would normally be and get more on that friendship level with them and share some best practices that you've seen across the country or some success stories where there was a manager that you were talking to that was really stressed and what did they do to help their properties and their employees. But I really wonder, and I'm really concerned, you guys, about just the long-term impact, because it has been such a difficult year, and the effect of cortisol and just the way our bodies handle stress is something that we've got to think about. So I think it's not just about planning for right now, and I do believe our industry has done a good job. You know, Stephanie brought up the having the company lunches and just really spending more on the employees, because at the end of the day, we've got to make sure the employees are okay and the employees know that it's okay to talk about. And I said it a while ago, it's okay not to be okay. And for that not to be looked at as a weakness, actually, that's really brave to say this is happening. I need help or what would you do in this situation? And then making sure that whoever that supervisor is, and I know later on this is something you want to talk about, Stephanie, you know, how you're managing that as, you know, as somebody that your team members look up to. And so, you know, sharing and talking, Paul, is one of the things that we've seen that's worked really well. And when you get a group together, we know group therapy works outside of the industry. Mm-hmm. Well, we've seen it where when you get groups of managers, groups of regionals, groups of C-level executives together, kind of like a town hall, but a little more private, and they start talking about that, it's no longer looked at as a weakness. It's looked at as, this is what's happening, how can we help each other? And then when we get to hear and see stories of what's happening, others start to share them, and then all of a sudden it lets everybody know, hey, we're all going through this and it is okay. And then, you know, we've been able to see where they've come to some conclusions or they've been able to share stories that have helped. And so it all comes back to you guys, if you think about it, being able to communicate, but then also having, and it's not just about communication, it's having a plan. You know, what is it that you're going to do to help yourself? And so we've seen companies that have put out information on healthier food choices that you can have, taking time out of your day to make sure that you're exercising, creating quiet spaces for meditation, and, you know, companies that have talked about deep breathing exercises that they can do. Some companies that have brought in some comedians and they've done virtual games. And we talk about doing that for the residents, and we see that being done for the residents, but also doing that for the employees. And everything that they can do for the employees, for the most part, they can do for their residents too. And making sure also that the leaders are trained in ways to identify changes in personality and things that might be triggering stress, and then armed with the ability to be able to communicate with their employee or that resident, or having somebody within the organization that they can go to and they have that safe space.
Yeah. And yeah. Stephanie, we've got about a minute and a half left in this segment, but I wanted to ask you, you know, what advice can you give? I mean, obviously, the global pandemic has not made on-site teams' jobs any easier, and it's been very challenging for them. So if someone kind of self-analyzes the fact that I'm under a tremendous amount of stress at working at this property, what do you recommend that they do if they recognize it?
You know, having an outlet and having somebody that you rely on that you can trust is imperative to any sort of emotional stability. And it may not be your partner. It may not be your husband, your wife. It may not be your boss. It may be a coworker. You know, being able to just verbalize, you know what, something's up. I'm not feeling quite right, and I need to take a break. I think we push so hard sometimes. We think it's weakness to take time off, because they need me, and what are they going to do without me? And recognizing that it's okay is going to be key to making it through in the long term. I think it's always been the case. I think it's just magnified right now.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. Well, we're going to go ahead and break it here. We're going to be back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Well, we are back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters. And today we're discussing the topic of a candid discussion about challenges we don't talk enough about. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone are two longtime multifamily industry veterans, both nationally sought after speakers and educators. Stephanie Grays, who is the Vice President of Residential Property Management with Signorelli Company, and also Mindy Price, who is the Vice President of Sales with J. Turner Research. I want to go ahead and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible before we get back in the conversation. Econserve, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. PM Workforce, the leasing management company, consistently excellent. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. And CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. Ladies, I wanted to start out this segment with job insecurity. It's something we touched on in the first segment. Job insecurity, obviously, of your residents, which also leads to the other part of that topic, which is financial issues and the stress of the financial issues. But also, let's talk as well as part of this segment about the job security or insecurity of our teams on site related to how they've reacted during the pandemic. So, Stephanie, I'll ask you, let's talk about residents first.
yeah, you know, we have many, you know, no matter what level you're in, you know, an A product or a D product, you know, everybody has been affected financially in some way, some good. There are actually some people that have done, you know, quite well in the pandemic, and there's some that have been affected, obviously, you know, adversely. We have, you know, people that are unemployed, people that have lost their savings, people that have, you know, lost everything and are living in our apartments. And so the residents losing their jobs and then you having to go to them and ask them to pay their rent, or seeing what's happening with people, you know, being affected directly by COVID or by job loss or the economy is a stressful situation, and it adds anxiety to the on-site teams. Certainly, and then seeing each other, you know, the other part of it is you have residents that maybe you're doing fine and they're working and they have their jobs and they're next to somebody that's really struggling, and you have the gamut, right? That's really, half of the people can pay their rent, half of the people can't. And then you have people that are saying, oh, wait, why do I have to pay my rent? I've been affected too. I see so-and-so over there that's getting eviction notices on their door. So in that close proximity, in that close area to people, it's a struggle to see the differences in how people are affected and how people are dealing with the pandemic. So I think both of those areas are affected. And then that goes into our staff levels.
Yeah.
The insecurity of not knowing, when we work in multifamily, we know that the way our owners make money is by, you know, where the property's profit is by people paying their rent, us having apartments occupied, you know, all of that flows up the stream. And so I think at this point, it hasn't been really about profit. It's been about preserving. And we all are trying to do the best we can to make sure that housing can remain affordable and that we can make sure that we can maintain even the basic necessities for some of our residents. You know, some properties are really struggling to make ends meet and to make the bills. And so if I'm an on-site team member looking at that, I'm thinking, what's the only thing left to cut? And that could be overhead, right? That's payroll. And while we were working harder and harder and longer hours and being more stressed out with more responsibility, the property seems to be making less and less money. And so how are we affected by that? I'm working harder and harder, and I'm not getting the benefits that I used to. I'm not getting the bonuses or commissions. And how does that affect my lifestyle?
And Mindy, during the break, you mentioned that Jay Turner had done some surveys that kind of touched a little bit on this. What did you find out?
Well, I do definitely want to talk about that. We recently did a leader study that you can go to Jay Turner Research and you can download under the resources tab for research. But one of the things that Stephanie said, it made me think about the uncertainty of automation. So, Stephanie, I just wonder, what does it look like 5 years from now from everything that we've learned? We've had virtual tours that were always around but not as adopted by the industry, and now almost every community that we talk to has used them or in some form or fashion. But how automated might our industry be a few years from now? And because of that, I would think the on-site teams are somewhat nervous about it. I personally believe that we are a customer service-oriented business, and it's people first, and it is about having somebody there, and, you know, it's the way it's always been. I don't see that changing, but I don't know. There's a lot of different articles that are out there about automation and fully automated apartments. There's a new one. On Washington Post. It was fully automated apartments in Rockville.
Yeah.
I would think.
I was just looking that up.
Yeah. Yeah. The more our team members see that, the more nervous they're going to be. And so do you have any thoughts on that? Have you given much thought to it? I know in our area we're really not seeing that, but I'm just curious about your thoughts.
Yeah, you know, I think we're getting more and more automated, right? Like, let's just talk about package concierge, right? That package locker situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not that that wasn't a much needed thing for us to do. I don't want my people managing packages, but every step we take towards automation makes everyone question and limit, like, where, obviously, the uneasiness of where do I fit into that? When, you know, if we have automated locks and we have this whole system, when is it that I will be taken out of that? I mean, if we can, we have some properties that, you know, that do everything automated. They do their work orders online, they pay online. The only interaction you need is if somebody's coming to do a service request. And so, obviously, you have the stressful environment that you have on a day-to-day basis, and then there's people that in the back of their mind are thinking, I may be taken over by a computer. I do see more and more automation. You know, I like to believe that people lease from people, and, you know, you need that community and that connection. I mean, I think now more than ever, in 2020, it has been a social experiment in terms of how much we need human interaction. And I think we can all agree that the environment has become much less tolerable of each other. The environment has, I feel people are more angry than they were before. And I think it has a lot to do with, you know, it's much harder to be mean to someone when you have to see them face to face than it is to scream at them on the phone or to send them a tweet or an email. And
Absolutely.
We have found that when we stop and we have that human interaction with people, it makes them a little softer. so where do we go from here? I do think that we will be building our efficiencies and there will be less on-site personnel. I do believe that that will happen. But counter to that, I feel like those people will be deployed in other areas. Maybe you don't have residents coming in on a day-to-day basis, but those people will be on the phone or will be handling internet responses or those sorts of things. I think those efforts will just be deployed in other ways.
You know,
so Paul, we've got a date in 2026 to see what all this looks like, okay?
Yes.
So thank you for that, Stephanie. I've been thinking about it, and I wonder what our listeners think about that. I'd be really curious to know. And
well, I know
so
somebody
Paul,
that has a research company can do some surveys and find out what the overall feeling is in the industry.
Absolutely. And that's a great question. And speaking of surveys, so I mentioned we did our leader study. We've been doing it, I don't know, for many, many, many years. And one of the things that was on here, so you guys, in 2019, we asked, what are the three most challenging issues you face? And actually, we've, you know, I've got the graph all the way back to 2013. And I think we were doing it before that. But in 2019, hiring and talent management was number one that they were most concerned about. I will say this year, when we did it, so even though we're 2021, but we just closed it out in 2020, it was raising rent was number two. Number one was actually timely rental payments, which we get that. With everything that's going on, we get. But number three was hiring and talent management. And Stephanie, you and I started in this business when we were babies, right? What we've done.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, 20 plus years in the business. And I did not look at multifamily as a career. It was something I was doing while I was going to college, but, you know, oddly enough, for radio, TV, broadcasting. But then I landed in this industry, and I can't imagine doing anything else. I absolutely love what we do. Not everybody knew about the industry, just like I didn't know what type of career paths there were in this business. And I say that only to go into this. We're a $1 trillion industry. We have captured the attention of many, and they now know it can be a very rewarding and long-term career. There's lots of opportunities for growth in this industry, but it's difficult right now. It was even more so difficult during the pandemic. I think, Paul, you had mentioned we had a side conversation about how hiring talent was a little bit harder, and we did see some furloughs that happened in the beginning. We did some research around that also. I think it's stabled out. It's stabilized somewhat right now, but I also believe it is an amazing time for somebody to get into this industry, to learn what we've learned during this pandemic and see how we're getting through it, and really shine during a time that is still somewhat uncertain, and then to see where we're at a few years from now and where they're at. I still truly believe that there's great opportunities. It's just a matter of attracting the right talent to the industry, and those that really have that servant leadership heart, that want to be a part of this. You know, Stephanie, what's your experience been during this time, and what have you seen throughout the industry?
Stephanie, I want to get your thoughts on that, but we're up against a break. When we get back from the break, we're going to get your thoughts on that. That's a great question. We're going to be back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
COVID-19 has greatly impacted the multifamily industry, emphasizing the need to reduce costs and increase revenue right now. PM Workforce can help you by providing intensely trained, performance-ready, certified leasing professionals. On-demand labor gives you more control over staffing costs. Their proprietary technology allows you to solve staffing problems within 60 minutes, 24/7, 365. Go to PMWorkforce.com before making a long-term hiring decision. Try one of their leasing professionals today. PM Workforce, the leasing company, consistently excellent.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of a candid discussion about challenges we don't talk about enough. And I'm Paul Marks. Joining me today by phone are two longtime multifamily industry veterans, as well as sought-after national educators for the industry, Stephanie Graves, Vice President of Residential Property Management with the Signorelli Company, as well as Mindy Price, who is the Vice President of Sales with J. Turner Research. And before we jump back in the conversation, I want to let our supplier partner industry listeners that are listening know that we have a couple of very special exclusive sponsorships that are become available, and we'd love to talk to you about it. Just reach out to us through our website at multifamilyradio.com. Stephanie, before the break, Mindy had posed a question to you, and I want you to answer it, and I'll let you restate it. But I will say that when I was listening to what Mindy was asking, I remember my father, when I was growing up, used to always tell me, every problem hands you an opportunity. And that kind of is what she was talking about as far as people who would like to get into this industry. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, kind of the question was, what are we seeing in terms of turnover and employee engagement and, you know, what do we see on the horizon? And I think more and more I see people, some people that have hit a level of burnout, right, that they just don't want to do this anymore. I think in every industry we have that. But I also see great opportunity because we are having shifting employees and people that, you know, that they're getting sick, or we've got to get temps, or we've got to figure that out. Or maybe you just realize that, you know, you want a higher level property, or you want to work with the struggling properties, whatever that is that you want to grow your talent. It's an excellent time to get into the industry because, you know, I think I worked for small companies almost my entire career, and you learn the most you can when you're on property and you're in a time of turmoil. Because, you know, when you have struggles like that, the breadth of your knowledge is just so great. You're going to learn so many more things than you would when everything's peachy and everything's running well and nobody's offering concessions and it's a great opportunity. We learn a lot in this environment. And I think, one, we've learned a lot on what we're capable of doing, and we have an opportunity to bring new talent into the industry. We are really struggling as an industry with maintenance professionals and getting a solid maintenance team. So I think that's going to be where we really struggle in the coming years. It's harder and harder to find good people because of the construction aspect or because people are going to other industries. So if you know someone or you have people that are looking for a solid career, apartment maintenance is a really good avenue to learn a lot about the industry and a lot about different ways of doing things. And it's solid. Apartments aren't going anywhere. There's always going to be job security with that level of talent.
That's great, and that is something I've heard from a lot of people. They're struggling to find good maintenance techs for their properties. I want to take us to another part of our topic, another challenge. We've got about 6 minutes or so to discuss this before we transition into something else. But and this is part of the challenge that really is very uncomfortable for a lot of people, and that is, you know, the challenge of when you're dealing with illnesses or even death when it comes. And of course, the global pandemic has again has made that something that's come more to the forefront. Stephanie, tell us a little bit about what you've seen with that.
Well, I think anybody that's in apartment management knows that, again, we work where people live. And so there's always been a fear but an acceptance that we will have to deal with death on our property, whether it's natural death, you know, somebody dying in your apartment of old age, or whether it's, you know, a crime, or whether it's an accident, or whatever those things are. I think most of us that have been in the industry for longer than a minute understand that because we work in this environment, we face that. But I know that this year has posed even more struggles because we're finding more and more, having to do more and more wellness checks because people maybe are in quarantine and they don't go to work for a while, or really having to connect with people on a deeper level on what's happening because we have more and more death and illness that we're faced with. And again, we're faced with that from our residents, but we're also faced with that from our staff members and our team members. I mean, I've had just in 2020, either immediate family of team members, of people that I'm involved with, over 20 deaths that we've had to, that we've sent flowers or we've been affected by. And that's just, I mean, we're a small team. So we're seeing it more and more, and that adds to that level of anxiety. You know what I mean? And we talked a little bit at the beginning about information. And, you know, you hear this information overload about how deadly COVID is or the things that are happening. And so when it affects you that way, we're seeing it more and more. And there's implications on a property level when you have residents that are dying or when you have team members that are dying. And so I think it just adds again to being able to ask for help and making sure that you're talking it out with someone and you have an outlet for the level of stress that you deal with.
Yeah, and I guess when you're dealing with the pandemic, you touched a little bit about it in the first segment, but about the illness. I mean, obviously the pandemic is an illness that even if someone doesn't actually contract the virus, if they think they did, you know, they've got all of the thoughts that go through their mind because of what they see on the news or people that they know that have had it or haven't done well with it. You know, what are you telling your staffs and your teams about that?
Yeah, you know, I talked to someone the other day. It was a supplier partner that I hadn't seen in a year, that we had a regular relationship, and I actually finally went to lunch with him. And he had gotten COVID early on last year, and he said, you know, Stephanie, I feel so relieved, because it was the unknown of what is it going to be like? How am I going to be affected? Am I healthy? Am I not healthy? How is my body going to react? And he goes, I felt almost relieved when I got it because I was like, oh, I can get through this. And I think that's a real fear. I mean, that's a real fear of what that looks like and the level of, am I going to be okay? Is it going to be worse? You know, anything's worse in your head, right? Mm-hmm. And so facing the reality, I think, you know, we are always conscious of it, and we are consistently telling our team members, you know, we don't do daily temperature checks, but we certainly are in tune with each other and how's your head, and, you know, asking health questions more than we should, which also brings on another level of professionalism, right? And as a supervisor, as a leader, how am I leading my team through this is important. I think it's important that leaders, you know, Mindy is certainly in that situation. She oversees a sales team. Making sure that you're leading them in the right direction and helping them cope with the extra stress is important right now.
Yeah, and Mindy, I'd love to get your thoughts on that, but we've got about 2 minutes left before we make a transition to another topic.
Yeah, you know, and I more so can speak to our company and how we're dealing with things, but we still are very... I guess a better way to say it is we're paying attention to what's going on. We're listening to our team members. We're not having anybody travel right now that doesn't want to travel. A lot of our clients are still not seeing people in person. And so it's, what is that individual's level of comfort? And it's different. It's different for each of the team members and where their comfort levels lie, and just making sure that they understand it's okay not to be ready to come back into the office or not to be ready to travel, and being supportive. You know, Stephanie, you mentioned one of your supplier partner friends that had COVID. You guys, I actually had it over the holidays. I'll never forget it. What a way to spend Christmas and New Year. And it was very, very, very scary. And I wrote down things for my husband to have that he might not have known about, just because I didn't know how I was going to react to it. And the good news was, is I did okay. There, we were very lucky. But like Stephanie said, there are others that haven't been so lucky and that we thought were perfectly healthy. And so it's just, you know, it is hard. And, you know, the subject of death is hard because we're losing so many people. Just this week, and it's Tuesday, you guys, I know of 5 people who have passed away from COVID and COVID complications. And so it's a really difficult time. We don't want to forget about it. We want to make sure that we are communicating with our team members and with our clients and just with, you know, the industry, that it's okay not to be okay. It's okay to talk about this and just having those procedures in place. One of the things I want to commend our industry on is really taking a hard look at mental health and providing classes and sessions on that. The National Apartment Association has some that are available that you can go to their website. I'm sure there's other companies that have that also. And so I think keeping it top of mind and, you know, talking about it, it's okay to talk about it.
Yeah, no, that's great. And we could talk about this topic for another hour, but I do want to transition us into something else. I want to give you guys a chance to talk a little bit about what you're working on now and about your companies. And if there's something that you need or if someone wanted to get in touch with you, how can they do that? I will say that I will be putting on the episode page of our website, our radio show website at multifamilyradio.com. I'll put your company logos on there with a link to your website. So if someone wants to be able to reach out and find out more about your companies, they can do that. But why don't we start with you, Mindy? We've got about a minute for you and a minute for Stephanie to talk about what y'all are doing.
So J. Turner Research, you guys, if there's any information that you need, we do prospect and resident surveys, employee surveys, owner surveys, salary benefit surveys, anything survey related. We also are the ones that have the AURA score, online reputation assessment, which is the industry standard score that's been adopted by everybody for how to evaluate a property's reputation. Reputation isn't going anywhere, and in the virtual world that we're in, residents are going online more and more to make sure they even want to visit the property, so you want to be aware of that. We can also help with reputation management and responding to reviews. And then recently, we launched the Multifamily Leaders podcast, so it's Multifamily Leaders. New episodes are released every other Monday, and so you can go to your favorite place for podcasts and check us out.
That's wonderful.
And then if you want to reach me, you can reach me at mprice@jturnerresearch.com. I'd love to hear from you.
Great. Thank you. Stephanie, okay. We got about a minute left.
Yeah, I have to say we instituted J. Turner Research on our properties, and it's changed our life in terms of getting information. So, and I'm always so excited to be on with Mindy because they've got such great information. We can always have nothing like data.
Yes.
Yeah,
I didn't pay her for that, you guys. Didn't ask her to say that.
No, but you'll have to. We'll have to work out a happy hour. So Stephanie Graves, so I'm working with a company called the Signorelli Company. They're based in Houston. And we're a land developer. We do all kinds of things. And so I handle single-family home rentals and multifamily, helping them kind of grow their management team over there. And so it's been a fun year so far, and we've got all kinds of fun stuff happening. So sgraves@signorellicompany.com is how you can reach me. And you can find me on Twitter and Facebook and all those fun places. So I hope to connect with you guys.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, ladies, so much. It's always great to have you on. We definitely will do this again. We're going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.